Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the NewsHour. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a returning guest. You've heard her before. Her name is Liz Cooney. She is the Director of Training at Tarot International. And we're going to be talking about something called cultural issues in the workplace. Don't turn anything off right now, because we're going to do a deep dive into what does make up culture? Is it age? Is it sex? Is it where you live? Is it geography? All kinds of things. And Liz, welcome back. Grateful as always that you're making time to do this.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Well, that's a can of worms. What is the importance of understanding cultural differences when you do have cross-cultural people in a workplace?
Well, first of all, the reality is there are so many different ways to define culture that we often aren't thinking about it in the broadest sense. And so being able to understand, recognize, acknowledge, and value those differences in culture, it just makes for a stronger team, stronger workplace, and just a better understanding of one another.
When we start down this path of what cultural differences are, I just indicated their age, sex, geographical location. I mean, the list gets pretty long, yeah?
It really does, because we often hear the word culture and we think, oh, somebody from another country. And that defines a different culture. And that's true. But that's just one example. If we look at how each and every one of us belongs to different groups, every single one of those groups could be defined as its own culture, because a culture is really just a group of people that has some values, beliefs, norms,
some similarities,
practices. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something in common. And I mean, you could think of your own family unit as its own culture. You have your own traditions, values, beliefs, and norms. You could think of your church. You could think of the political affiliation that you have. You could think of the volunteer group that you do on Saturdays. All of these could be considered cultural groups that you belong to and identify with. And when you think about it in that context, we are very complex in how we associate with so many different cultures in our life.
Yeah, this is well beyond the idea of diverse and inclusion. This has to do, I would imagine, in the business sense, if you have a stereotypical idea of that person and that culture, whatever that culture is, and we've defined many, many categories. For example, I'm a boomer, all right? You are not, right?
Correct.
So I would have cultural idiosyncrasies, I think, that could or may not transcend your understanding.
Oh, absolutely. So I belong to the millennial generation, and we certainly have our own stereotypes of the boomers, as you do of us. And I was actually just talking with a couple participants in one of our workshops the other day, and we were defining what are the challenges that they are experiencing. And I'm curious if you relate to these, because they were all of the boomer generation. Mm. There might have been a few Gen X in there too, but they were very frustrated with some of the millennials in their workplace, because from their perspective, the millennials, they don't prioritize the work. They seem to not care about what they're doing. They just want to go home. Hmm. So they were complaining that, you know, the millennials don't want overtime. They don't want to stay until the work is done. And that is very confusing for them, because not only, I think, is this a generational culture, but I think this was their company culture, that you put in the work until it's done, and that's just expected. So they are perceiving these millennials as not caring, almost to the point of being lazy, because 5 o'clock hits and they're out of there, even if there's still things to be done.
Well, I would suspect that lots of societal issues goes into all of that. I mean, millennials have been through some really trying times, seeing wealth dissipate, seeing upward mobility go away. And so the structure and the attention to detail and the deep affinity for the workplace probably does lack a bit.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And because, you know, you're faced with different things. My generation, on the other hand, we were raised that you work and you stay at the same job forever, and you climb that corporate ladder if you can, and look out everybody else. And there's another thing to that, where when we talk about economics has vastly changed things. I mean, we're in an inflationary time right now. Boomers, if they're still employed, are going, why do I want to leave? I need to continue to work, which creates upward mobility problems for other generations. Yes?
That's true. That is true. And to your point, what the millennials have experienced, first of all, I just want to define the fact that most millennials are in their 30s and 40s.
Right now.
And we're still stereotyping them as right out of college. No, most millennials are well into their career.
Yeah.
And you're right. We watched our parents, our teachers, our mentors lose their jobs and not have a fail-safe because they had given their loyalty over to their companies. And guess what? 2008 happened, and they watched all of that go away. And so there are different priorities because we know there's no guarantee. And so prioritizing or having other priorities besides work is of value to the millennial generation. And it doesn't mean that they don't care. It means that we also care about other things, and having boundaries around our work and our life outside of work is a priority. And it goes both ways, though, because millennials, I would say, stereotype the boomers as being resistant to change.
Hmm.
These are the changes that we want, and then we come up against more traditional values or more traditional expectations of how we should show up in the workplace and what we should be committed to. And so there is some resistance to that, and we can easily stereotype right back at the boomer generation.
Sure. Well, we're just talking generational right now, and we're going to get into some other things. But how do you deal with that? What's the answer when we talk about these cross-generational issues? And as you said, you know, Gen X is in their 40s now. Mm-hmm. So how do we deal with all this? Do you come to it with an open mind, or...
Certainly an open mind is key. Self-awareness is also important. And I think we can distinguish between stereotyping and generalizations,
mm-hmm.
because there is some truth to some stereotyping as a way to better understand ourselves and others. So here's what I mean by that. When we are interacting with people, if we are conscious of the knowledge that we hold of that individual or the groups that they identify with, then we're able to understand, is what I thought of that group or that culture matching up with my experience? So we can use stereotypes to inform us when we go into an interaction. But here's the difference. If we categorize all members of a group in that way, regardless of our individual experience with them, that's where stereotypes can lead to prejudice. It can lead to generalization in terms of we become more curious. If we are not bound to labeling all of a group of people in a culture as that one thing. So stereotypes, again, can be positive or negative. They can be pretty inflexible. Right. And if we are resistant to new information informing us about a particular group of people, then that's where it can be detrimental. But when we use stereotypes as a way to be curious and a way to open our mind and learn more, maybe we do more research, maybe we observe more, we categorize some members of a group, but we're flexible. We're open to new information coming into it, and we can be curious about how those stereotypes may or may not be true.
Our guest is Liz Cooney, ladies and gentlemen. She's the director of training at Tarot International. A fascinating conversation just about stereotypical behavior and the workplace and how that could get in the way of productivity. It could get in the way of advancement, all kinds of things. Let's go down another path if we can. We've spent a lot of time on stereotypical age issues, but there are other cultural differences from where we live geographically. I'm not much of one for grits, for example.
No shrimp and grits for you?
No. And you know, I have great friends in the South who think that's just the greatest thing ever. And you know, I happen to eat various things that are different than others, perhaps. So that is also a cultural shift.
Yeah.
What about the times that we live in today? And we don't do politics on the NewsHour, but there is a resounding issue going on in this country about LGBTQ, about lesbians and individuals who are gay, transgender. And there's really division of the ranks out there. How do we deal with that? I mean, you know, I'm asking as a business person, because what used to be in the closet, so to speak, mm-hmm. has now become, in many circles, out in the open. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some, yeah. I think there's some issues there.
That's putting it mildly, yes. I want to take this on a micro level, just because that is a huge question that we could spend an entire week talking about. But this one is one that hits close to home as a member of that community, and I feel very strongly about it. And I think, you know, for the benefit of your listeners, let's put this in conversation on a micro level. So sure. An interpersonal level, where you've got leaders who are maybe aware, maybe not aware of people on their team who are being deeply affected by what's going on, not only in Iowa, but across the country. And actually across the world. Did you see the legislation in
yes.
Uganda? Right. Okay. So this is something that having an awareness of difference and valuing difference is going to be to the benefit of both parties. In other words, you as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor, you may not understand fully the issues, right? And you might not be able to identify with the struggles that some of your employees or their family members are going through. Being aware of those things, though, is number one, that people are struggling, and being able to have a space where people feel they can show up authentically of who they are in their workplace, that matters. Right. And so I am not saying you need to be able to talk about politics in the workplace, but it is being able to empathize and show compassion in a way that even if there's some misinformation out there, there's some disagreement on what's going on, treating another person with the human dignity that, hey, you're struggling, this is a tough time. That comes back to how we all want to be treated.
That's so true. And not only how we all want to be treated, how we should treat other people at the same time. And just, again, having that awareness. If you've never been aware or never been faced, how do you know? How do you know what to do? So what is the answer to that? You know, if we're working in a situation, office place or a manufacturing facility or whatever it happens to be, how do you get there? I mean, how do you assist people in understanding whatever various cultures you're having an issue with?
Well, there are multiple ways to answer that question, Michael. I think one of the basic ways is to have conversations, right?
Yeah.
Because we know there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. And whether we're talking about the LGBTQ population, whether we're talking about religious or, you know, anything. And being able to model the way for others and say, hey, you know what? Let's have a cup of coffee and tell me what's on your mind. How is this affecting you right now? What can we do to support you? And they might say nothing. You know, I'm okay. I'm separating this from what I need to accomplish here. But being open to the fact that some people may want to talk about this and they may want to relate it to what is going on at work and with their job, giving that space and time for people to have the conversation and just listen. Sometimes it really is letting people express what's going on, and they're not asking you to fix anything. This is much bigger than that.
So what you're saying is listening, just paying attention to the various issues that are out there, whether they be racial, sexual, whether they be geographical, whatever those things are. If you're in a, I hate to use the word, it's so used so often, multicultural adventure. Look, we talk about this all the time on the NewsHour. We stick with business, and we are so integrated today. I mean, what happens in Europe in the banking sector impacts the United States. I mean, and years ago, that wasn't even a blip on the radar. But now, because we're so interconnected, not only in business and in finance, but also with whom we work, how many places across the country are doing remote work with somebody in another country, in another culture? I mean, yeah. As we're sitting here doing this conversation, it's, I think, day 3 or 4 of Ramadan, all right, where Muslims in the world don't eat or drink from sun up until sundown. Now, how do you deal with that in the workplace? Oh, it's lunch break time. Well, you know, this guy's not eating. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many examples and facets of how our different cultures come into play when we are interacting with others at work. And that's where I just keep coming back to this point of, you know, we're not here to judge other people's cultures. We're not here to say what's right or wrong. And there's a wonderful tool out there called the Intercultural Development Continuum. And look it up if you haven't heard of it. It's a way to understand how we each have different mindsets. Some of them are very monocultural, where we ignore difference. We just don't even want to talk about difference or be around difference, or we divide and judge difference, to a more intercultural mindset where we can accept and adapt and be open to the value that difference has. And I think many of us, we fear things that are unfamiliar to us. That we don't know. And any type of culture, it just comes back to being curious and listening and asking questions.
And here at Taro, are you offering these kinds of classes and this discussion to individuals who are out there that are really curious about honing their skills regard to this?
Yes, we do. We have a workshop, a 2-day workshop, 1-day workshop on these topics. We also do one-on-one coaching because we know this can be a very personal matter. We give people development plans for how to really see where they are, where's their mindset, what's their orientation in relation to culture and difference, and where do they want to go? Where do they want to take that mindset? Do they want to broaden the way that they see the world and interact with other people? So we coach them through that.
It is a fascinating conversation, and one I suspect that you and I could sit here for a very long time and talk about. Liz Cooney, ladies and gentlemen, the Director of Education at Taro International. And yes, we will have links to all of this on the radio blog. Liz, always, always a pleasure visiting with you, because you folks here at Taro can achieve, lead, and outclass. It's all about that. And I treasure our time together. So thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Michael.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of Insight on Business. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Liz Cooney, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great time. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.